Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read verse 1 through 8. Paul is writing, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and I tell you that time is today, now, in 2022. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Heavenly Father, we look to you. Lord, help us to get our eyes on you and your holy Son, Jesus. Help us to follow you. Help us, as we'll preach, to love you and to look for you, and to do the things you say. Give us strength for the journey. Give us understanding. Help us to live for you with our whole heart. And Lord, we thank you and praise you and love you and worship you in your wonderful, wonderful Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I preached to the sinner that he should get his heart right with God before Christ's return. But as we started in Malachi chapter 4, it starts out that same way, warning the sinner. Warning the sinner of the judgment to come. But then, it talks of those that love God, that fear Him and look for Him and are hoping for His appearance. His first appearance in Malachi's day, in Christ's day, and the second coming in our day. So last week I preached to the sinner, but this week my message is to the Christian, to keep living right and to watch for Christ's appearing. But the passage I read, it's one that's used very often. We ought to be ready in season, out of season. We ought to be ready to give a defense for the gospel and to preach the word as preachers ought to do. That we shouldn't preach fables as verse 4 says. That we shouldn't preach it's all a bed of roses, or that Christians could have their best life today, or whatever nonsense. Because in verse 5, it says we're to endure afflictions. Afflictions. Suffering, I've often said, is part of the gospel. It's part of the gospel. And as we preach the Bible, again, not other things, but the Bible. We ought not to have other messages from behind the pulpit. We ought to preach the Bible. We shouldn't preach politics from behind the pulpit. We ought to preach the Bible. But to do the work of an evangelist, a preacher, and that we ought to make full proof of our ministry. If we have the ability to do this or that, let's go ahead and do it. I mean, if we can't do as much as the other guy or the other church down the road, okay, fine, but let's do what we can do. Make full proof of our ministry. Then Paul says, hey guys, been around for decades, about ready for me to get on out of here. I'm now ready to be offered. My time of departure is at hand. I've done a good thing, tried to do what God said. I'm at the end of my course. But he says, I've got a crown of righteousness that God is going to give me. He'll give it to me at that day, as we preached last week. Oh, but not just me. I mean, I'm an apostle. I've done this. I've preached in this country and that, and I've started all these churches, and I ordained elders, and I did all of that stuff. Look at me. Well, no. No, don't look at us. As Peter said, Peter and John, when that lame man was lifted up off his feet in Acts chapter 3, I believe it was, he said, why are y'all looking at us? It's Christ and His power. It's Jesus and His majesty. We don't have anything. All we're doing is going in His name as ambassadors for Him. Look at Him. That's our message. Yeah, Paul said, I've done all of these things, and that's great. And I've got a crown of righteousness that God is going to give me. But not only me. Everybody that loves His appearing gets a crown as well. What does it mean to love His appearing? Well, He's coming back. He's coming back. Are we afraid of His return? Or are we anxious for His return? Are we happy that Jesus is coming back? Or does His return upset our plans? But He says, all them that love His appearing, there's a crown of righteousness waiting in heaven. But let's start with this. John 14 verse 15 and 21. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Do what the Bible says. And don't do what the Bible says don't do. God gave us the Ten Commandments. Don't steal, don't kill, don't covet. You know, that list. Let's start with those. Let's have a pure heart and not covet our neighbor's stuff. Let's have respect for God and His Word and respect for our neighbor and not commit adultery with his wife or her husband or whatever the case. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he used those commandments and other scriptures, but he was preaching to the heart. He said, you know, you've heard it said, and he would list something from the Old Testament, but then he said, I say unto you, and then he would talk about the heart. It's not the physical act of stealing your friend's stuff or your enemy's stuff. Okay, fine, you stole his stuff and that's wrong and you ought to be punished. But if your heart was right, you wouldn't want to go steal his stuff. You wouldn't want to lie. You wouldn't want to covet. You wouldn't want to have adultery with his wife or whatever. If you love God, and then you love man, that would solve a whole lot of problems in this world. If we would simply love God and keep his commandments. But John 14:21, I didn't read this last verse here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will appear to him. Yes, Jesus is coming back at that last day, I understand. But you can go to John chapter 14 and read about the Holy Ghost and how the Spirit of God comes to live in our heart and give us understanding and show us how to live and give us power to live, etc. He's talking about the inner reality of Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll manifest myself to you. John 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We preachers say you ought to follow God, but Jesus followed his Father. Jesus isn't asking you to do anything that he didn't do. Just follow his example. Follow God just as he followed God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, are not difficult, are not overburdensome. And for a reference, you can look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' burden is easy. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. It's not a hard thing to follow God. You just read the book, let it change your heart, and then live according to what it says. And by following the Bible, you demonstrate your love for the Father. But if you love God and you love His commandments, you will automatically love His appearing. You will automatically love it when He comes back. And as you get to walk with God and spend time with Him and understand the Word of God, and God begins to reveal things to you, your desire for His return will grow and grow and grow. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world doesn't know anything about us, because it didn't know anything about Jesus when He came." By that He's saying, you can learn of God in the Bible. But if you're ignorant of the Bible, then you're really ignorant of God. Because that's where we learn about the Lord and His plan and His love and etc. We have to stick to the Word of God. We have to stick to the written Word of God, the Bible. But it says in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be or be like. But we know this, that when Jesus shall appear, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is." You and I are flesh and bone, or flesh and blood, what have you. We're human. We live in this plane of existence. And we try to walk right, but there's many things that we don't understand. But the Bible tells that God lives on another plane. He's in heaven. And heaven's culture, as we live for God, heaven's culture takes root in us. And when we get to heaven, and we looked at this just a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 17 and other places, where we looked at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transformed right in front of them into His God appearance. They knew Him for 2 or 3 years, however long it was by that time, as a man. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Him as God. And when Jesus comes back, John is saying that we don't know what we're going to look like, but we know that when He comes back, we'll be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We'll be changed, in other words, as Paul, I believe it's in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, talks about. We'll have a new body. We'll have a heavenly body. And this body with arthritis and heart condition or whatever we have here, as we get old, we develop old people's syndromes. But when we get to heaven, we get a new body. And John is saying here, and Paul said, we're not quite sure what that body is going to look like, but it's going to be a heavenly body. And we shall see Him as He is. As we live here, we have the day-to-day grind. You turn on the television, you're bombarded with all the wrong things the Bible says we shouldn't partake in. It's hard down here. But one day when Jesus comes back, all the hard is gone. We get a crown of righteousness, and we get to live with Christ in heaven. And John says that every man that has this hope in him, the hope of seeing Christ when he returns or when we go to heaven, if you have that hope in yourself, you'll purify yourself, even as Jesus is pure. Jesus has a glorified body, a heavenly body. Jesus doesn't go around bothered by sin. When we get to heaven, we'll have some sort of glorified body, and we won't be bothered with sin anymore. And if you have that hope, the hope of heaven in your heart, you'll live right. You'll live right. You'll think right. You'll berate yourself when you do wrong. And you might say, oh Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have done that. But you'll kick yourself and say, why did I do that stupid thing? I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be on my way to heaven. Why am I doing stupid things? Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul said, you'll purify yourself. If you're looking for heaven, if you're looking for Christ's appearance, you'll purify yourself even as Christ is pure. Hallelujah. 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 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say, hey, I'm a Christian, I go to the first church down the road, but we walk in darkness, or we walk to the bar, or we walk to all kind of things that we know we shouldn't do. We say that we are Christian, but we live like the devil. We lie, and we don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we look to God, if we love his appearing, if we obey his commandments, if we get away from doing sinful things, if we keep our eyes on Christ, we'll purify ourselves. And when we do wrong, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, there are many false doctrines in the world today. A charismatic saying or idea is that we ought to claim the blood of Christ or plead the blood or what have you. And I say these things and I bring these false things up because they're so prevalent in the church and they have to be answered. They have to be shown to be wrong or unbiblical. Those that say we ought to plead the blood or whatever, that's useless. It's absolutely useless and wrong. It's no different from a Catholic with a St. Christopher medal or a St. So-and-so medal, expecting that scapula or whatever to protect them as an amulet, as a good luck charm. No. No. The scripture is clear. If we walk in the light, if we love God and obey his commandments, we walk in the light. We'll automatically have fellowship with other Christians. I didn't say church members. I said Christians that are doing the same thing. And Christ's redemption, his sacrifice, The blood that he shed on Mount Calvary is automatically applied to our life. And if we do wrong, we repent and we're cleansed. It's automatic. But to go around claiming the blood or pleading the blood, it shows that you don't have any understanding of what the gospel really is. Again, let's obey the Bible. Let's live by the Bible. Let's be holy according to the Bible and leave false teachings alone. Because false teachings always glorify anything else but Christ. But if you keep your eyes on Christ, everything's going to be okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And this passage is interesting. He talks about Christians that are asleep, which is a way of saying that they died. But as the passage goes on, he gets specific and say that they're dead in Christ. They died with hope in Christ. Let's keep our hope in Christ. Let's keep our eyes on Him, love Him, keep His commandments, and walk in purity. And in verse 18, he says, wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.